Ow, where's my mommy? I love Armani suits. Hey! See, I think we're coming in hot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Man, let's cut that beat out. No one's listening to that.
Ah. Bob.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, DJ T-Baby. I'm with my co-host and my good friend, DJ Piab. This is another episode of What Are You Talking About, which is only available via radio.dominican.edu.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
T, we got a great show lined up for the audience today, and I'm telling you, I think this show will be legendary.
I hope so. I mean, those are the only kind you try to do, right?
Yeah, everything you want to do. And of course, if you're in a guy's show, what we're going to talk about, sports. We don't want no drama.
No drama.
We don't need no gossip.
No gossip.
We don't need no drama.
No drama again.
No, but we do need sports. We need sports. And of course, you have to talk about the Super Bowl, how you liked it, how and what fans thought about it. If you have a comment about the Super Bowl, call us at 415-482-3587. And of course, we have another great rap assigned by DJ T-Baby, the most lyrical man in the world.
I don't know, P.
No. Don't call me P. Call me P. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, you can call me P. But
okay,
I think
P.
But most legendary lyrical man in the world.
Well, I appreciate the comment.
Shut up.
Okay. Then hey, come on. Then we have
Then we have another Warriors versus Oklahoma City game wrapped up. I think that's a great topic.
Yes.
Then we have another guest performer. I don't know who it's gonna be.
Okay.
And then we have a Would You Rather segment. Then of course the My Man, and Let's Go Bro.
Yeah. It's a good show.
I think great show.
Yeah.
So let's get it started.
Yeah, what are we going to kick it off with here?
Let's just start with turn down the music, and let's go with Super Bowl 46.
Wow.
This is a game that a lot of people in the world thought was going to be great.
Yeah, including us.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be great. You have great quarterbacks in Eli Manning and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So, T, what did you think about the game in your opinion?
Okay, in my opinion, I'm going to be perfectly honest here, and this might not align with the consensus, but honestly, I didn't think it was that good of a game. As a matter of fact, I found the game to be somewhat dull and not very exciting. I wasn't that involved in the game because, again, even though I'm not a Niner fan, I do like root for the Niners, but the teams playing, the Patriots and the Giants, the fact that it was a rematch in some people's minds made it an epic game. In my mind, the fact that it was a rematch kind of took away from the Super Bowl. Because it's like, I didn't want the Giants to win because they already won, so you can't really say they're really an underdog. But who wants to root for the Patriots? Who wants Brady and Belichick to have a fourth ring?
Look, I mean, in my opinion about the game, I wanted to like it.
Me too.
Because it's the Super Bowl. You have to like stuff. You have to like it. You have to like it like white on rice.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest bet in sports.
Yeah.
If not the biggest, one of the biggest. Probably the biggest.
Probably the.
Yeah, but what did you think of the game?
I wanted to root for the Giants because I just hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
I hate the Patriots, but I was still bitter about that Niners loss, even though I shouldn't be.
Well, it's rightful.
It's possible.
You're entitled to be somewhat bitter.
Yeah. But when I thought about the game, I thought the game was, it wasn't exciting at all in the first half.
Especially that first quarter.
No, first quarter, terrible.
What a dull quarter.
Even the safety wasn't exciting.
And the safety was a call that didn't have to be made.
Yeah.
We can agree on that.
You know, I thought Hockey Lee would even announce the game. I wanted Hockey Lee to announce the game with his big buff muscles. Call the game, sorry.
Yeah.
First down. Yeah. Titans with my big muscle.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Ed Hockley, most buff official in history of sports.
Honestly, his traps are amazing.
But he wears those tight shirts on purpose. You can see he wears those tight referee shirts.
Yeah.
Gets extra small to show off those guns.
You know, DJ Corey Whelan's very jealous.
Yeah, okay, but let's get back to the game.
Let's get back. The game was very dull. It wasn't good at all. I'm going to be serious. It wasn't good at all.
I'll say it was somewhat exciting during the end of the game. Just during the end. But even the end wasn't that exciting. You're giving me a look here like I'm crazy.
Because you are.
Okay, that's true. I'm crazy. But the end of the game was a little bit exciting. You for a second there, you were like, you had to be rooting for the Patriots. You wanted Brady to have that drive at the end. You want him to have a successful, epic drive. Come on.
Look, I just wanted Tom Brady to have an okay drive.
Okay, yeah, like to the 30-yard line.
Take it to the 45.
So 30.
37.
40, okay, well, 40-yard line.
Because if you take it there, you're in field goal range, and it'll be great. even if, like, because you can't bring the field goal kicker out because they lost 21-17.
Yeah. Well, the game, you play to win the game, as Herman Edwards said.
Yeah.
And honestly, I felt like the Patriots, and I was talking to this actually with my grandfather who watched the game with, the Patriots didn't really come out firing. They didn't come out with a sense of urgency. And I know they're the Patriots. They've won, I mean, not all the players, obviously. It's mainly Brady, Belichick, and I think only a handful of players that have been on those epic championship teams. That's my word of the day. I've said epic about three times. But the Patriots just didn't come out with a sense of urgency. And I know you could argue that they don't panic. They don't really buckle under pressure, so they don't really need to play with that urgency because they're just so calm and collective. But I really would have liked to have seen just, like, more life and more energy to start the game. Like, when I was watching the first quarter, I was just thinking to myself, is this the Super Bowl?
I mean, T, I know what you mean when you say, is this the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
But T, it is the Super Bowl. Well, these teams earned to play the game.
I'm not speaking in absolutes, though. Obviously, I know it was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But the quality of play doesn't necessarily coincide with a typical Super Bowl.
I think last year's Super Bowl, amazing.
Packers-Steelers, yeah, it was great.
It was one of the best Super Bowls I've seen in my life.
And I remember Cardinals-Steelers was a great one.
Cardinals-Steelers was a great one. Even Colts and Saints was a great one.
Oh, yeah, and my personal favorite as a Tampa Bay fan, Bucks-Raiders. Terrible game if you're a Raider fan, but great game for a Bucks.
And also, I remember watching this when I was 3 years old, 94 Niners versus the 94 Chargers.
Yeah.
Even though the Niners blew them out, it was a great game to watch.
Yeah, it was. And back to the Giants and Patriots. The thing that grinds my gears, you could say, is the fact that a lot of people are saying it was a classic game. It was a great, okay, it was a great matchup. A lot of people are saying great game, just intense. It wasn't that good. I know Eli Manning played well, and you could say he's somewhat deserving of the MVP, but I felt like Eli didn't win the game. Yeah, he had that drive, which led to Bradshaw's running touchdown, which was a weird play, but I was hoping that either Brady would have a game-winning drive, or Eli would have a game-winning drive, or even like Tynes would hit a game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
Something just captivating towards the end of the game. That's what I was hoping for, and it didn't happen.
So,
and let you get in here in a second,
okay.
P. I got one more thing to say.
What's that?
On that last drive, when Brady converted that 4th-and-16, I was a believer. I was saying they're gonna win. Not gonna win, but they were in it when because Brady, that drive started off with 2 incompletions, a big sack. Because that 4th-and-16, getting that was a miracle.
It was
a 4th-and-16 against the Giants. I was thinking, okay, they're gonna do it, but they didn't.
All right, see, so you're talking about MVPs.
Yeah.
This brings up the question that everyone wants to know in the world. Who deserved MVP the most? Because in my opinion, Eli Manning didn't deserve it at all. No, not at all.
No. Well, you don't think at all. He was, what, 30 of 40? He played well.
Played very well.
But the thing is, he wasn't extraordinary, but he was very good. And a lot of people could say, what's the difference, which is a fair question. What I mean by that is, he wasn't just absolutely legendary. It wasn't like Eli just put the team on his back and won the game. And part of the reason I say that is because the Patriots' pass defense is absolutely atrocious. So I expected Eli to have a game like that. I think a lot of people expected Eli to have his way. But he still didn't really win the game. I feel like he didn't have those jabs to the chest that I really thought he would have. But then the thing is, Brady had even less of that than Eli. Eli's definitely outplayed Brady significantly. Brady wasn't as sharp as he usually is. I was telling people before the game at my house, I was saying Brady's going to cook that defense. And he didn't.
You know, imagine this against the Niners defense. You think he would cook them?
Yeah.
You would think so.
No, I'm just saying yeah to your question, but
you
I don't
think
so.
You would think so, right?
I'm saying, oh yeah, you would think
he would. You would think he would, but now after that game he played against the Giants, no way.
Yeah.
No way at all.
While we're on the Niners, they could have beat either of those teams.
Yeah.
You just say on any given Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, no different. Niners could have easily won the Super Bowl this year.
So, T, the question.
Oh, yeah,
who's
MVP.
The MVP?
Okay, let me answer that. Back to reality here. No Eminem. The MVP, I mean, it's the thing about giving it to Eli is it's an easy pick. He's the quarterback of the team who won the Super Bowl. But honestly, I know Justin Tuck joked after the game and even, like, I think before the game about Eli stealing his MVPs. I think it either could have gone to Tuck or Pierre Paul. I know Pierre Paul statistically didn't. I don't think he recorded a sack, but he had 2 pass deflections.
Yeah.
And he was just in Brady's. He was just in the area the whole game. But the stats probably weren't good enough to give him the MVP. I say, why not Tuck? Because the thing is, it doesn't have to just be stats, it's presence. Tuck was just the absolute game changer.
And you're talking about the defense. Honestly, the wide receivers were great for Manning.
Yeah.
They were excellent. Victor Cruz came in clutch when he needed to.
Yeah, and
he did
Knicks,
the dance when he wanted to.
Yeah.
Knicks was great with those big hands.
You could say Knicks
could have been the MVP.
Yeah.
And also another sleeper, Mario Manningham.
Yeah.
He caught that 50-yard catch.
But at the same time, that throw was a work of art.
I wouldn't say
it
work
was perfect.
Of art. No, but
no
but,
one else could have caught it but his man.
But Manningham was in ran the route perfectly
and
as well.
He got his feet in. It was a great play. It was.
And also, like Manning did put it where a place where Manningham should catch it, but only great wide receivers would make
that's
that catch.
True, but David Tyree's was far more dope.
Yeah. I mean, look, I put it this way. In baseball, superstars never get the MVP. Well, I wouldn't say never, but it's very rare they get the MVP for the World Series.
Yeah.
Edgar Renteria won MVP twice.
True.
And he's not MVP
but
quality.
But he played out of his mind.
And Cody Ross, Benito Santiago won MVPs.
They played out of their minds in the playoffs. Yeah. But why I give it to Tuck is also, I mean, you don't want to judge it on a single play, but on that last drive when they record that sack on Brady, that really was the final nail in the coffin. I know when they got the 4th-and-16, it seemed like they have a chance. And to be honest, let's get real for a second. That Hail Mary was about a few inches away from a touchdown. Maybe if that ankle was healthy, I can't even say his name, Gronkowski would have made that catch. If his ankles, I'm not saying, I mean, probably not, but it was close. But without that Tuck sack and that cool celebration he did afterwards, I'm not so sure the Patriots wouldn't have drove down the field, and won the game.
All right, so you choose
Tuck.
Tuck, and I choose Victor Cruz.
Okay.
So I think that's fair.
You got Cruz
I
over
I got Cruz
Hicks.
Over Knicks.
Knicks.
Yeah. A very. I think it's obvious.
Yeah. I would disagree, even though I just ruined his name, because I'm just saying Knicks seems weird. But Knicks, didn't he have 10 snags?
He had 10
and
snags.
Cruz was shut down.
He was shut down. But but here, this is you have to get my opinion here first.
Yeah.
Victor Cruz deserves the MVP because it's the best dance in the NFL. In the NFL. Better than the Dirty Bird, dirtier than Primetime.
Oh, yeah, Cruz.
Yeah, there you go.
It's funny.
I win.
Okay. Let's move on. You got any more questions?
I do.
Arsenal?
A lot of comparisons between Tom Brady and Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Should those comparisons still go on, or should they stop now?
Well, funny you mentioned comparisons, because I did just compare Tyree and Manningham's catch, even though I really shouldn't. Yeah. I'm not big on comparisons. I think more often than not, athletes are just unique and very individualistic. They're not necessarily similar to a player. I think unless you're just like a supreme football analyst who is knowing of all, only then can you really analyze two quarterbacks. The main reason people just say Brady and Montana are similar is because they're both like tall, white, accurate, successful, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Does anyone know if they actually have similar mechanics or they had similar coach? I don't know. Maybe they do. I love football, but I'm not going to claim I know everything about Joe Montana's career. So I don't even think a lot of fans are in the place to make a comparison between the two. That's how I feel about comparisons.
Look, T, we're only about 20 years old here.
Yeah.
And people are saying Joe Montana's or Tom Brady's better than Joe Montana. But people, have you seen Joe Montana play?
Yeah.
People our age, I'm sorry. Have you seen him play?
Not likely.
Highlights do not mean a lot.
And you are a diehard Niner fan, so you know as much about Montana and Young and some of those great quarterbacks as the next guy. And you saw Young play quite a bit.
Yeah, I saw Young.
You didn't see Montana play much.
No, I haven't, but what I heard Montana's a lot better than Young. But that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Because he won 4 Super Bowls, but in my opinion, my eyes, from the quarterbacks I've seen play, Steve Young was a great game changer, but best, in my opinion, Brett Favre.
Okay, but at least my point is at least you acknowledge you don't know everything about Montana.
No.
You know a fair deal,
yes.
But you don't know everything. Some of these fans, they want to just act like these guys are heir apparents and are totally similar. I'm not big on – I think you can compare like a certain style they have, but I don't think you can ever really compare a total player. Like every time a rookie's drafted, they want to say he's just like this guy. He's just like that guy. Yeah. Why can't he just be his own man?
Like Anthony – when the Warriors drafted Anthony Randolph, they compared him directly to Lamar Odom. But that's a different story. This is the last question about the Super Bowl, T. Eli Manning is now in the conversations with quarterbacks such as Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Ben Roethlisberger.
Vince Young, I'm just kidding.
No. And I'm missing one more, Terry Bradshaw.
Okay.
Now people are saying, this guy's great. He's got 2 rings. Is he better than his brother Peyton?
Well, I'm first going to attack the first part of that. I'm going to throw Roethlisberger out of that group. Okay. I don't even think he's elite. I know he's won two Super Bowls, but he had that steel curtain defense. He's a very good quarterback. He's maybe even elite, but there's probably about five or six, maybe seven quarterbacks that take over Roethlisberger, so I'm not going to ever put him in the category of all-time greats. Even Terry Bradshaw, didn't he have a low career rating?
See, you're the king of stats, and you're telling me that Terry Bradshaw's rating overall was about a 76.
Yeah, but he won big games.
Yeah.
But to answer Eli and Peyton, honestly, I know that there's shades of greatness with Eli, and he had a great year. Unbelievably clutch. I was a big Eli skeptic and critic even late in the season. You got to be on the bandwagon now. You got to even say Eli is very good. Mm-hmm. I still don't even want to say he's elite, and this is
but
an old
he is
argument.
Now. He is now.
Us, we had with DJ Hunter about Eli's elite. Hunter, you probably is elite, but at the time we had the argument, I didn't think he was elite. Now he has proven himself to be elite. He's won two Super Bowls. And I know I'm talking forever, but P's going to get in here in a second. But one more thing is Eli is not as good as his brother. He's nowhere near as good as his brother. He just happens to have more Super Bowls than his brother. Roethlisberger has two, and he's not better than half the quarterbacks that have only won one or zero. Eli's not even close to Peyton.
Honestly, you're completely wrong there, T. And I'll tell you why. Because Peyton Manning is the king of choke artists right now.
Wow.
No, he's the king of not being clutch at all. One Super Bowl.
Okay.
And this man, if he wants to be legit, I know he's great. Talent-wise, probably one of the best I've seen play the game. But if you want to be the best, you have to win championships. Brett Favre only won one. And people are saying he's the best. That's not true at all. Because the best of the best got to be Joe Montana and Tom Brady. I know what you said before, and I know what I said before. It's hard to compare people, but if you have these rings, 3 and 4, Montana with 4, Brady with 3, and now Manning with 2, this guy could be almost as good as these guys, such as Troy Aikman. And he's still young, and he's the king of clutch.
I think and we got have a caller. A call coming in here.
Caller, you're on the air. Caller?
Hello.
Caller?
Hey, first time caller here. This is Bobby Moreno.
Caller, are you there? We can't hear you very well.
Yeah, hey, caller, man. It's all good, baby. If you need to call again, call us at 415-482-3587. You're listening to What Are You Talking About with DJ P-Yop. But back to the topic here.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning is a lot better quarterback than most people, but not his brother.
Wow, that's so... Okay, to sum up how this is a game of inches, as Al Pacino says in the classic... And okay, we got another caller. We got a persistent one here. Caller, you are
caller,
on, the,
on
air.
The
air. Peyton Manning is that what you're saying?
McMahon? Oh,
you're saying Jim McMahon's the best quarterback?
Yeah, Vincent McMahon. He had about, let's see, his stats were, let me look them up real quick. He had about 20 home runs, 2 field goals.
So 20 home runs and 6 field goals, huh? All right. Well, caller, you made a great point about home runs because they don't exist in football.
What I heard,
but this is a great man. I love your voice.
What I heard from that caller was Vince McMahon is the best quarterback ever. For those of you who don't follow wrestling, Vince McMahon ran. P&P, you know more about wrestling than I do. Vince McMahon ran the WWE for years, did he not? I don't think he ever played it down. And he's talking about, okay, back to reality again. I mean,
hold on, T. This guy said that Vince McMahon's the best quarterback.
For a second, I thought he said Jim McMahon.
And that's a good comparison.
Bears quarterback.
And he won a Super Bowl.
But I think he said Vincent. Maybe he's thinking Vince Papale, who's an invincible, portrayed by Mark Wahlberg. But I want to get serious here because I was going to make a point before that call. Honestly, whoever called, we're not trying to clown on you. We appreciate the call. We love getting called here because it kind of validates what we do here on radio.dominican.edu. So thank you for the call. But back to my point, it's a game of inches. And I know the Colts lost to the Saints 31-17 when they played in the Super Bowl, but the Colts were very close to win that game.
Yeah.
So I remember – I'm going to get back to my point for a second. Just bear with me.
I got you,
When Sal Palantonio asked Ray Lewis – last season in the offseason, how close were you, the Baltimore Ravens, to winning the Super Bowl? You know what Ray Lewis said?
What'd he say?
He said minutes. And Peyton Manning was minutes away from being a two-time Super Bowl champion when he could have beaten the Saints. And the real reason that score was 14 is because the Saints had that late pick for six. So it was very close for Peyton having two Super Bowls, then Eli would have two Super Bowls. And if they had the same amount, I think there'd be no argument. Peyton would be clear. So the fact that Eli has one more doesn't make him a better quarterback. What it really means is he, at some situations, he has more clutch and he has a superior defense. Peyton Manning's had terrible defenses for years.
But he's had stars. Bob Sanders, Dwight Freeney. These guys were stars.
But not good defenses as a unit,
and,
usually.
And T, if Peyton Manning was clutch, he would have beaten Drew Brees' Saints.
Oh, okay, I agree.
And no, you
it's
have
fair.
To,
that's
he
fair.
Threw the interception to Tracy Porter. And that's something clutch quarterbacks wouldn't do. Would Eli Manning throw that interception to Tracy Porter?
Maybe.
No,
maybe.
I wouldn't say.
He might.
No. You cannot say that.
Okay.
You cannot say
I'll
that he
concede
would. Two rings.
I'll concede a little that it's kind of similar to Dirk Nowitzki. You could argue before Peyton won that Super Bowl, he wasn't clutch. He was a bit of a choke artist. He couldn't win the big game. After you win a Super Bowl, you win a title, you immediately denounce the dubious distinction as a choke artist. Peyton Manning is no longer a choke artist, but you can definitely argue, and maybe even argue with unequivocal certainty, that Eli Manning is more clutch than Peyton. But if you have a healthy Peyton, a healthy Eli. So what I'm saying is Eli at this stage in his career, and Peyton at pretty much any stage up until right now because of his serious neck injuries, if you take Eli over Peyton, I think that is just such a bold and irrational and nonsensical pick. I think Peyton is so much better than Eli, it's not even debatable.
All right, so you made your point. Peyton, I pick Eli. We'll be back, radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned, T-Baby's on this rap game, so please call that station, 415-482-3587. We're going to slow it down for y'all. You like Janet Jackson? I loved her in that Super Bowl with Justin Timberlake. We'll be back.
There's something I want to tell you. There's something I think that you should know. It's not that I shouldn't really love you. Let's take it slow. When we get to know each other, be frightened with my love, because
We'll be here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ P, y'all. That's my boy DJ T, baby. We're back for a great segment. It's called, man, it's Wednesday, West Side Wednesday. We're always going to bring the funk. We're always going to bring everything. We go hard in this show. We go ham.
We go.
And T, yeah. Are you ready to go ham, man?
I'm ready.
Hey, callers, after you listen to this rap, you need to call this station, 415-482-3587. You need to call this man. This man is elite rapper. I don't even know if you can even be an elite rapper, but this man is elite.
Thank you, PF. Thank you. Yes, DJ, it's Tyler Burst, a.k.a. DJ T-Baby, a.k.a. the microphone wrecker, a.k.a. the verbal assassin, a.k.a. everything, all the above. Just call me a.k.a. DJ T-Baby. About to spit a little something for you. Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
I'm ready.
P-Ab, you ready?
Man, I'm ready, bro.
All right. It goes like this, though.
Okay, well, how he sound?
This is how the story goes.
What's it, man?
Check it out.
I check it.
Check this out.
Mic check one.
I said yo.
I
said yo.
Yo.
Check me out.
Okay.
It goes like this.
What's up?
So cold from clenching the mic, my hands are frostbitten. If it's not dope, I'm not with it. Searching for the covenant, my fate is locked in it. These boys talk softly off the beats, but in the booth, a harsh image. Left jab to a neck slash, face torn up, I watch that jaw grimace. I said my verses hold weight, no thanks to you ghost riders. I roll by your set, go shank your rhyme patterns for low rates. And I'm a legend with a chip on my shoulder so heavy my bones break. If at the hips where your chrome waits, I'll blast back. No bullets fire, just anthrax from my mouth. I can't have you fools around me counteract the game. I'm down for a match, hammer, axe in my hand, dismantle you hacks. In a battle I smash, that's extra pause. I sense your flaws, never gone from the booth for long. I tend to squad up, have y'all chumps ever met your god? Here he is with a weapon drawn. If your first step is wrong, then your chances are grim. Evildoers hand me their sins, but I cleanse them with purification. I'm a rapper with gifts, my heart happens to tick even after stopping. Doctors say I'm a master that's been blessed by toxins and impacted by hymns, singing ancient songs as I walk through lands that are hopeless and dim. At this very moment, I'm sick of you fools acting like y'all kill rap. You're far from a great, but I go hard in the paint. Paul Millsap. Jaws get smacked when I throw hands and release them purely. Meet my fury. I need a journey that defeats your yearning to victory. I'm a beast emerging, causing riots. The streets are burning, yet I walk on solid ground. My feet are sturdy. Demons curse me. How your vision seems is blurry. Paramedic team should hurry. My dreams occurring in reality. Nasty flow. Everything I speak is dirty. If what you seek is mercy, do not look in my vicinity. Each facet I apply is riveting, running receiver reverses and all kinds of trickery. You're a pit bull with lines, but only because you bite them viciously. That means you're unable to compose original material. I brand you a liar instantly, grammatically on a violent killing spree. Watching above all, the overseer. The difference between us is I write poems, you write poems for leisure. I release harmful smoke and ether. My mind was in a coma deeper than any wizard's spell, and I woke with fevers previously unseen, but on one dream I had was of Mother Nature. I was told to meet her. Afterwards, everything I flowed was lethal. What I wrote was meaner. I'll inspire the righteous, but retire the mindless as I guide rioters. I am the poet's keeper. So hope and plead for a rhyme like this to cross your path. You don't want to gamble your soul with a man like me unless you understand the cost is vast. But I won't front like that's likely. Fools can't find me. I'm off the map.
Oh my. Oh man. I got the face like when Stephon Marbury saw Amari Stoudemire dunk on a New Jersey net. Nasty.
I'm trying.
This guy said, go hard in the paint, Paul Millsap. No one would say that.
If they, no one steal that line. If anyone
and,
steals
and
that.
And no one would say, like, pit bulls and big lines biting. And, yeah, oh,
I slipped up a couple times, but that's why we do it live.
We do it live.
We're to Bill O'Reilly. We do it live.
No,
but,
T. When people do it live, people will mess up.
Yeah.
News anchors mess up all the time, but it also didn't even sound like you slipped up.
No, I appreciate it. That's a little something I wrote over the last couple days. We just, you know, it's like DJ P-Ab's the singer, DJ T-Baby's the rapper, and then we're both Radiohead. So it works out well for everybody.
But hold on, listeners. This man said, go hard in the paint. Pause. Paul Millsap. Who says that?
Yeah.
Who says that? Can anyone else say that? I don't think anyone else would say that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because actually when I watch sports, a lot of times I think of what rhymes with like an athlete's name.
You know, and a lot of people don't even watch sports, but it sounds great anyways.
Yeah, I know.
That's what people should even appreciate.
For example, no one steal this, but I thought like Matthew Stafford rhymes with battle rapper. Like, you know, I thought like stuff like that. Don't steal that. That's a line I haven't used yet. So if I hear that line, I'm going to be pissed off.
Hey, no, I feel you, man. Like when I broadcast games, I always say like Penguins can fly. Penguins cannot fly, folks. I know that. But, I mean, I'm saying that if Penguins fly, it means we fly to victory. It's like what T-Baby says, Matthew Stafford, rapper.
It's not quite. No. It's pretty different. What you're saying is it's you're saying in a figurative sense. You can be figurative.
Yeah. You're figurative, too, when you rap.
Yeah, figurative.
This guy's the most lyrical man in the planet.
But the athlete lines aren't figurative. But it's just the way my mind works. When I watch the sporting event, I'll sometimes just hear a name. I'll be like, what does that rhyme with? And I'll see something when I'm, you know, just driving. I'll see a sign and think, what does that rhyme with? That's just the way my mind works sometimes. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's DJ T-Baby rapping for you. I'm going to be doing it almost every show, if not every show. And actually, there's going to be a couple events, I think, this semester where I'm going to be doing some rap, spoken word stuff. So you want to stay tuned for that. DJ Piab has been called the Young Usher. He's got the pipes. He's got the vocals. And we're having a special guest sing later. I'm not sure who it is yet.
We don't know.
And he is also a singer. So I think we're going to cut to a quick commercial break.
Yeah,
my name's DJ T-Baby. My boy is DJ Piab. This is What Are You Talking About? A show only available via radio.dominican.edu. We will be back very soon with some great, insightful, and intellectually gifted topics. So stay tuned for that. It's T-Baby and Piab. What up?
Alone in the big bad world. Are you alone in the big bad world? Alone in the big bad world. Made a vow to the game that I'll never get caught up in the stank cold fame that the world shows us. Just a hold up to get toe up and forget about the way you was brought up. From the flow up, put you together to get in like cocus. Then you get spit out the mouth like reflux. Then you won't read up, man. I swear this game be thicker than Nip Tuck. But you can't let it kill ya. Why don't you look at the side that's realer? Not the fast life, not the parties. The reason why you're here, your career. Little thing that made you VIP. The reason why they never need to see ID. The reason why the bottles on the house every week. Saying to your friend, but ready up when the day's bleak. Not sitting right by your side. They just got one thing in mind. Never your best interest, just messing you about every night. Where's your something to life? Cause this one's got you close to the edge. Life's like a drug and you better learn not to overdose on speed in the fast lane. Pour another champagne, living every night like you don't give a damn thing. Look at you now and how things done changed. Lying within you was pain. Never got held something you want. It can make you feel so ashamed. In this world, you just gotta say, we all living in a big bad world. Boy meets girl, everything is breezy. Used to pick her up, beep beep, put her in the backseat. Stop in the light, then ski ski. He was a thug, she was a love. That's how she thought it should be. He was selling them drugs, busting them slugs. Just running all around in the street. Let's fast forward when 9 months over. Here come a baby, round in a stroller. That's not mine, is what he told her. Now her world just got much colder. He said it was through, now what she gon' do? Mom's kicked her out in the baby too. Now she got the hustle for money to put booty in the tummy and shake her booty for dummies. Did that ruin when they come in, but there ain't no one by her side to let her know it's alright. She don't have much, but she tries to stop her baby from crying. She's a lady of the night. You can't lay with her for bribes. She would've been a beautiful wife, but now she can't because she's grown in the fast lane. You sprung champagne, giving up her body like she don't give a damn thing. Look at you now and how things did change. Lying with dudes for some change. She forgot that she is a woman. How she did praise is a shame. In this world, you just gotta say,
yeah, listeners, are you alone in this big bad world? Well, we're here to help. This is DJ P-Yop, and that's DJ T-Baby. You're listening to What Are You Talking About on radio.dominican.edu. If you want help from the big bad world, call 415-482-3587. But, of course, there's a man's show. Man's talk about sports. And man talks about would you rather. But T-Baby, we're going to stick with the sports thing, man.
Yeah.
These Golden State Warriors keep losing.
And why that's a surprise to anyone is beyond me, because it's not a shock that they're a losing team. But they have been playing well. Sometimes. And last night they played well, but it wasn't enough to win.
Let's bring up the stats right away, okay?
Yeah.
The Warriors versus Oklahoma City Thunder. The Warriors lost by 2 points. David Lee had a triple-double. 25 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. Monte Ellis, you don't care about anything he does but points. He had 48. Stephen Curry messed with a triple-double. He had 16, 10 assists, then 7 rebounds. David Lee did his job. He messed around, got a triple-double.
He did. Word to Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was I'm a diehard Warrior fan. I couldn't even watch as much of the game as I wanted to. I had class till 8, and then I had to do a project. So I only really saw a brief glimpse of the game, which, of course, would happen. The one game I can't watch is an epic game. But they lost. But to me, it's both positive and negative. It's positive because they hung with the Thunder, who are, if not the best team in the league, one of like the three best teams, but could definitely be argued as the best team. Believe they have the best record. And the Warriors, they've already beat the Bulls this year. They beat the Heat, so they've taken out some great teams. But it's disappointing to get so close and lose. And when they played the Thunder a couple weeks back, they were close. They weren't as close. The final score is a bit misleading. But last night, it seemed like it was just in their grasp, and they just couldn't pull it off.
Look, Mark Jackson, the Warriors' head coach, always says no excuses. There's already an article saying Mark Jackson's making excuses for his no excuses.
Yeah.
I don't think he does, in my opinion. I think... But first, let me just say, I don't think he's a good coach. Because it's first hard to say when you see a good coach. But for me, he has no coaching experience. When I see in the sideline who's making the calls, it's Mark Malone, the assistant.
Yeah. And for most casual sports fans, even most diehard sports fans, it's incredibly difficult to judge whether a coach is successful or unsuccessful. I know they could have a terrible record, and you could say he's done. Like Paul Westphal for the Kings, he's canned. Yeah. Who could win with that roster? No one would win with that roster. And Mark Jackson, I think he's doing a fine job, but he's no savior either.
No. That's why when people say they're on Mark Jackson's behind, it's hard to believe because they're not winning. But you can tell he's doing a good job because he wants defense to be the Warriors' key thing. They don't want to be that run-and-gun, Don Nelson style. Yes, it's exciting to watch, but does it win championships? No, Don Nelson never won a championship.
Well, yeah. The Warriors, the kind of team they have right now, is obviously not going to be a championship team.
No.
The Thunder might be a championship team. That's why it is productive, and it is very nice to see that the Warriors hung with the Thunder, but it's also disappointing because for years the Warriors have actually had a knack of hanging around.
Yeah,
they don't get blown out a whole lot. They tend to hang around, but they also tend to lose the games they hang around. They're a terrible team at finishing. They don't play well towards the end of the game.
Yeah, but this team, this team's a lot better than last year. I'm just going to say that because they hung around every single game.
Yeah.
Except for the 76ers game when they lost by 30. But they won. They didn't win, but they hung around every single game. In the road as well. There are games when they could have beat San Antonio.
Right.
They could have beat the Phoenix Suns on the road. But injuries is what plagued the Warriors all season. And that's what plagued them a lot last year. If David Lee didn't get his teeth stuck, didn't get someone's Wilson Chandler's tooth stuck in his elbow, and if Stephen Curry didn't sprain his ankle this year, there's a lot of what-ifs with this team.
There are, and even Kwame Brown this year, obviously, huge injury. But for me, again, it's hard to argue for Mark Jackson. It's also hard to argue against him. I'm closer to four just because I think at least he's trying to implement a defensive mindset. And I do like the way he handles players and minutes more than Keith Smart did. But at the same time, for me, it's just like it's his first year. They're not a great team, not even a good team. Give him at least like 2 years without any like severe criticism. You know, just let him have like 2 years and then maybe start to judge it. But to talk about some specifics of the game, Monte Ellis, as you mentioned, going off. 18 of 29, 3 of 6 from 3, 9 of 10 from line, 48 points, hitting the boards a bit with 7, 2 assists, 3 turnovers, which is less than his average, 2 steals, a block, only 2 fouls. Yeah. And we know Monte and Curry have a tough whistle. They get called for a lot of fouls, it seems like. And I think it just proves that you can't trade Monte, because where would the offense come from? And I was thinking about this last night before I went to bed. Even though Monte had struggled, like, recently had some severe struggles of late, Monte can go off on any given night. He's not going to ever average 48, obviously. He's not going to usually put up 48 back-to-back, but he has the capabilities to go off every single night.
But see, this is what proves to me why the Warriors are a bad team.
Yeah.
You're bad because the key player on your defensive side is injured, and that's Kwame Brown. How bad is that when Kwame Brown is one of your key defenses and you're losing because you need him? Yeah. And your starting center's Andres Biedrins, who is nothing. He only had one steal and nothing else.
On stats, Biedrins, 13 minutes, one steal, 5 fouls. Are you kidding me? You call yourself an NBA player? And I really don't have anything against Biedrins. He seems like a nice guy. He seems good for the team. Doesn't he, though? I doubt he's poisonous to the team. He seems like a friendly man. I'm sure he's trying hard to do well. Maybe he's not, but it seems like he is. But I think what it comes down to is he's just not a talented player. I know he averaged 11-11 that one year. He used to be significantly more productive. I think maybe those were just flukes. Those are just enigma-type seasons. And this is really the Biedrins that he is. And he's a guy who up 0 points and 5 fouls.
Look, I'm just thinking Andres Biedrins could be a great fit for a run and gun team. That's bottom line. He only put up those numbers when they were running gunning.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
He's a bad half court man.
The Warriors don't play defense. Back in those days, even now, they're better. But back in those days, they didn't play defense. So the other team shot a lot. So they make a lot and miss a lot. Biedrins gets some rebounds. And with running and gunning, most of those points are coming from what? A sharp pass from Baron Davis, Stephen Jackson. That's a very good point you make. So that could be why those numbers were inflated a few years ago.
So, T, is there a run and gun team in the NBA that could use Biedrins' services?
Honestly, okay, speaking of run and gun just for a second before I get to Biedrins, with the NBA, with the style of the season, it doesn't seem like there's any running and gunning.
No.
Games are like 13 to 12. I mean, I saw the Magic are scoring in the 60s. Games are like 75 to 70, and oddly enough, I'm watching more NBA than I have in years past. God knows why. The games aren't exciting. Most of the games aren't exciting. I don't know why I'm watching more NBA, but I am.
But they're fun to watch, T. It's the NBA, and you could rain threes all day.
Okay, that's a stupid point. Yeah. What I think it is, I think it's because there was a lockout. There almost was no season, so I think I'm just happy to have a season. And we're big. Honestly, I don't care. I know the Warriors are only 8-14. I love watching the Warriors. I'm excited when I know there's a game at night. And I'm upset I didn't have the chance to watch the Thunder game. But the Thunder are 20-5, and they lost by 3. I want to read some Durant numbers while we're here. Durant's last 7 games, okay? 37-14. This is points rebounds. 37-14, 36-13, 23-13, 36-10, 22-11, 33-7, 33-10. This guy's on another planet right now. Who can contain this man?
Let's just say number one candidate for league MVP. Done.
Easily.
Done.
Easily. On the best team with the best stats.
Done.
Numbers 27-8-3, shooting 50% from the field, and he takes very difficult shots. 33 from three, not that good. This is what
it's
I don't like. Again, he's 33 from three, and he takes 5 a game. Should not be taking that many a game. But the thing is, he's very dangerous from three. When you watch him shoot threes, you think they're going in, despite his low percentage. 81 from the line. He's so good. 1.4 blocks. I mean, I remember when he played at Texas, he averaged like 8-9 rebounds a game. His first couple years, he was around 4-6, but now he's at 8. That's very good for a small forward. You want 8 rebounds a game from a star player.
We're done. Quick commercial break. Radio.Dominican.edu. What are you talking about? Guest performer coming up next. We'll be back.
I think I love you, baby. I think I love you, too. I'm here to save you, girl. Come be in Shady's world. I want to grow together. Let's let our love unfurl. You know you want me, baby. You know I want you, too. They call me Superman. I'm here to rescue you. I wanna save you, girl. Come be in Shady's world.
Oh boy, you drive me crazy.
You make me call me Superman. Be talking in a single bound. I'm single now. Got no ring on his finger now. I never let another chick bring me down in a relationship. Save it.
babysit. You make me sick. Superman ain't saving. Girl, you can jump on Shady's. Straight from the hip, cut to the chase. I tell them to a face. Play no games, say no names. Ever since I broke up with what's her face, I'm a different man. Kiss my lips. Why ask? Kiss my, get my cash. I'd rather have you my. Don't put out, I'll put you out. Won't get out, I'll push you out. Puss blew out, poppin' on fire to put you out. Am I too nice? Buy you ice. Wouldn't buy you life. What you trying to be my new wife? What you Mariah? Fly through twice. But I do know one thing, no. They come, they go. Saturday through Sunday, Monday. Monday through Sunday, yo. Maybe I'll love you one day. Maybe we'll someday grow. Till then, just sit your drunk on that runway. I can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman. I can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman, can't be your Superman, your Superman, your Superman. Don't get me wrong, no secret, everybody knows. Yeah, we, so what? That's about as far as your buddy goes. We'll be friends, I'll call you again. I'll chase you around every bar you attend. Never know what kind of car I'll be in. We'll see how much you'll be partying in. You don't want that, neither do I. I don't want to flip when I see you with guys. Too much pride between you and I. Not a jealous man, but females lie. But I guess that's just what we do. How could it ever be just us two? I never loved you enough to trust you. We just met and I just... But I do know one thing, no. They come, they go. Saturday through Sunday, Monday, Monday through Sunday, yo. Maybe I'll love you one day, maybe we'll someday grow. Till then, just sit your drunk on that runway. I know you want me, baby. I think I want you too.
I think I love you, baby.
I think I love you too. I'm here to save you, girl. Come be in Shady's world. I wanna grow together. Let's let our love unfurl.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy DJ T Baby. I'm with my co-host DJ Piab.
What up?
This is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. Yes, that is correct. And we have a very special segment coming. Earlier, we're saying there's going to be a guest performer. It's actually just going to be your great friend, DJ Piab. Like I said, he's a vocal extraordinaire. He's a great singer. He can hit those high notes. He has great tone, great delivery. And he wants to sing a little something for you. So I'm just going to hand it over to him.
Well, T, I mean, you're saying I can hit the high notes. I don't know about that.
No, a little bit.
It's tough. It's
no,
tough.
You got him. You got him.
Well, I mean, this is the first time I've ever done this on radio, because I don't do this a lot.
You got it.
But I'm going to do an original song.
Preach it.
I'm going to do an original
preach
song,
preach to these boys.
Man.
These boys are ignorant. Preach to them.
That's
tell
right.
Tell them something they ain't heard before.
I'm about to tell them. I'm about to go hardball.
Tell them something.
It's called Yo My Destiny. That's what it's called.
All right. Talk to these people. Talk to these people.
Hold on. Huh? Huh? I ain't go a little something. And go like this. Go like this.
Okay.
All right. I kiss your lips. You kissing me. When I see you, girl, I see the world. When I close my eyes, you're always on my mind. Girl, I want you to be a part of my family. Girl, you're my destiny. You're my destiny. Girl, you're my destiny. You're all that I need. Cause you're my destiny, la da da, la da 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 da, la da da, la da 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 da, yeah, yeah. Verse 2 coming up, yo. You make me shy, I get butterflies when I see you smile. Girl, I'm so glad. Girl, when I hear you laughing, it always makes me happy. You make my life so gladly, cause you're my destiny, you're my destiny, girl, you're my destiny, I say you're my destiny, yeah.
Okay, P.
I'm not sure,
okay,
man.
P. I know the ladies out there are feeling that. I hope the gentlemen are too, because you got to appreciate some vocal abilities.
I don't know, man. It probably wasn't my best thing.
Yeah, it was good. It was great. I think it sounded great. It's DJ Piab. He's a singer. He can sing. He has the radio voice, you know. He's great with the technology, but he can sing too. I've been telling everybody for years he can sing.
Oh no, man. That was just a little something out there, man. I had to pull out, you know. The original song.
No,
it's tough the first time. It's tough doing it live.
It is. It's tough doing it live, but honestly, I think, and also I hope that the audience appreciates a good singing performance.
I don't know if he wasn't good, man.
No, I think it was. Honestly, I'm a big underground rap fan. I'm not the type to necessarily bump some R&B or some soulful stuff, even though I'm into it. I'll mess with James Brown sometimes. But that was great. And I loved it. So I think a lot of people listening loved it.
Thanks, man. But now we're going to go back to a regular segment. Yeah. We're going to go back radio, man. It's called our favorite segment where everyone wants to tune into a Would You Rather segment.
Yes, yes. Let's get right into it.
Now, TT, we've been dirty. We've been told to cool
it down
a bit.
Well, we haven't been dirty. You're dirty. You ask the questions. I just am forced to answer. I hope they're less dirty this week, but God knows if they are. Now, I don't know. But get back to you. Back
now,
to
TT,
you.
TT, this is the question. Would you rather be Derek Jeter or Alex Rodriguez?
Okay.
Now, this is the pros. They're both baseball players, millionaires. And look, Derek Jeter goes out with Minka Kelly. He went out with Vanessa Manillo. Great girls to be with. Alex Rodriguez went out with Cameron Diaz. Okay, not great. Great for a 40-year-old. And currently he's going out with Tori Wilson, former WWF diva, or WWE, whatever you would say. And Tori Wilson was on Playboy, and she's amazing.
Yes.
So, T, who would you rather be?
Well, in terms of, like, just a life, it's got to easily be Jeter, because A-Rod's one of the most scrutinized players in the history of not only baseball but sports, and Jeter seems to do nothing wrong. So, in terms of life, it's Jeter. And Minka Kelly, I think I've said on the show, is one of, like, the three most attractive girls in the world. But I didn't even think about Tori Wilson when I said that. But Tori Wilson is up there too.
Yeah.
So that's – and I'm glad it's not dirty. I mean, it's kind of dirty in a different way, but I'm glad it's not just like sick. I think – you know what? I'm going to go with Jeter because I'm also factoring in the lie. Like Jeter just doesn't get criticized. You know, he's beloved in New York. A-Rod, even if he has like 50 home runs, the second he strikes out or has an error, he'll be booed. And Jeter will always be loved. So I'm going to go with Jeter.
Look, I'm gonna go Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah?
And I'll tell you why, because Tori Wilson has the most banging body out of all the girls in that. I'm gonna say that. He did get scrutinized for taking steroids, but he did become a good role model by saying it was a bad decision.
Well, yeah,
He spoke out to the kids saying, look, don't follow me. But imagine this. Would you rather be a contact hitter that makes plays or someone just at the plate and after that it's just a home run and they're like, sayonara.
What are you talking about?
When you're at the plate, you're
that's
just a
your
threat.
Argument.
You're just a threat and then you just hit that out of the park. Getting 50 home runs a year, that's amazing.
I don't think
And he's buffer than Jeter.
Wow,
so
your arguments are just terrible.
No, he's buffer than Jeter. And he could hit home runs on any given day.
Anyone can make a grave mistake and give a half-hearted apology. So I don't think he necessarily was that accountable. I think he maybe was somewhat remorseful.
No.
But I think Jeter's the pick. But you're entitled to your opinion. So
yeah.
I got Jeter, you got A-Rod.
No, Tori Wilson just takes the cake.
She
there
does.
You go.
But Megan Kelly, too. Next question.
Okay. Next question. Would you rather be a famous professional wrestler or a UFC fighter?
That's so easy. A UFC fighter.
Really?
Are you kidding me? You're so much more respect. You actually have developed skill. I know a lot of WWE wrestlers have wrestling backgrounds, but these UFC fighters are like trained killers. You realize what would happen if a UFC fighter was ever in like a confrontation, like in a bar? You realize he could just take out like 8 people. A WWE wrestler, while they're athletic and talented, it's a show. And yeah, UFC's a show too, but the guys have technical skill and they've developed it over years. They have immense skill. WWE guys are just, they're shows, they're actors.
That's why I'd rather be a famous professional wrestler.
Really?
You get more money.
I don't know about that.
Famous. I said famous. I made it clear. I just said UFC fighter. That's all I said. You could be someone like a Nick Munoz who only
$60,000. You can't say I can be Munoz and I can't be St. Pierre.
No, I
didn't
say no.
Yeah, you gotta have all aspects.
No famous.
That's not fair.
No, it's fair. You have to read between the lines, T, and you know that.
You didn't put anything between
famous,
the lines.
So famous, I'd be The Rock, and enough said. I'd be an actor, make money, and get the girls, and after that, be buff. And also, I could take away people in a bar as well. So it doesn't mean, and you don't get those cauliflower ears. So
okay, well, actually,
in your face, T.
WWE wrestlers can get severe cases of cauliflower ear, number one. Number two, it's not fair you say I can be a low-end UFC guy and I can't be a great one. And you can be Rock, arguably the most famous WWE guy ever, and a successful actor, and just a cultural icon, really. So you can't say that. I'm going to say if you can be Rock, I'm going to say you're more of a Jeff Jarrett, like a middle-of-the-way guy who most of you listeners don't even get because it's an obscure reference.
Jeff Jarrett, good point. Okay, fine. I'm Kurt Angle, and then you'll just be like Matt Serra. He beat GSP, so that's okay.
Well,
there you go. And I still make more money.
Okay.
So
you know what? We only got about 5 minutes. We're not even doing any more commercial breaks.
No.
We're just gonna ride out the rest of the show. Are there any more Would You Rather questions?
Yeah, there is.
Let's hear them.
There is. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So T.
Well, about to sum it up before you get too crazy. I pick Jeter over A-Rod. Pia picks A-Rod over Jeter. And then for the next one, I would rather be a UFC fighter. Pia would rather be WWE. Maybe if this happens one day, we could actually schedule something where I fight at your place in WWE, you fight in my place. Well, all I'm saying is, Pia, come to the cage, baby.
Step into
the octagon and see what happens.
Hey, T, I got in cage fights. I've been in Hell in the Cell. I've been in the Elimination Chamber. I've been in the cage, and I'll show you how it's going to be.
Okay.
It's going to be a show. So, T, who's
your
man?
Well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, every week I pick we have a segment where I pick a man. I picked the Niners before. I picked a bunch of men. I picked Lindsay Lohan before. Mm. I picked, you know, which you have to go through the DU archives to hear that one. That was
delicious.
About 12 shows ago last season. But for this season, my man is a well-known actor, star of the movie The Gray. I'm going with Liam Neeson.
Okay, that's not a bad
and
pick.
And for those of you who don't know, even though you should, because he's a well-known actor, he was the star of Taken.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in some great films. But the thing about Neeson is he's not usually a great actor. He's also obviously in Star Wars. He's had some great performances, but he's not necessarily a great actor. But in The Gray, you actually see some really detailed character development, some just touching and profound acting. I saw it with some members of my family, and a couple of us didn't like it as much, but a couple of us loved it. And it's just a great movie, and it's doing well at the box office. So, ladies and gentlemen, see The Gray, because for these reasons, Liam Neeson, you are my man. I know he's normally not a great actor, but in this movie, he is fantastic. P-Up, take us home. Sign us off.
Man, first of all, man, you got to go. Man, let's go, bro.
Okay.
First,
sign us off with the Let's Go, bro. There.
Man, you listen to what are you talking about on radio.dominican.edu. DJ P-Up, that's DJ T, baby. Let's go, bro. Quit complaining, Kendrick Perkins. You got dunked on. Don't handle LeBron. Let's go, bro.
Yeah, shut up, Perkins. It's T-Baby and P.F. We'll be back next week. Late Madonna in a couple minutes, so stay.